Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. We're live at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel here in downtown Nashville, right next to Bridgestone Arena. Several folks in here enjoying their lunch and listening to us. So come by and say hello. Shout out to our man Todd, who came by yesterday. He just texted us. He came by Circa yesterday. It was nice to meet him. So thanks for coming and saying hello. We have an update from UTC.
Yeah, this is from their Twitter account. The UTC campus is all clear. The lockdown has been lifted. Law enforcement found no evidence of a threat. All classes and activities were canceled until tomorrow at 8 a.m. All students and non-essential employees may leave campus for the day. Thank the Lord. And if it was a hoax or a prank, please arrest them.
Yep.
And just thankful that there was.
So there was no.
Nope.
There was nothing. No
nothing.
Active shooter.
Nope.
Good. Good. Yeah, and yeah. I agree. Like, don't mess with stuff like that. So glad everybody is okay and safe.
Yes. There we go.
So if you are just joining us, want to know anybody at UTC, you can check on them, but it seems like everything is okay. So
yeah.
that is some great news. So I want to I saw this report come out last night from the Nashville Banner, and Stephen Elliott is who put this out, that the Nashville Fair Board leader says racetrack deal is almost ready. Proposals to renovate the Fairground Speedway and bring NASCAR back to the venerable venue have lingered for years. And, yes, they have. And so it's been on again, off again, all those things. But according to this report, it looks like that the mayor's office and the city have continued the conversations with Speedway Motorsports and those that run Bristol and the Nashville Super Speedway of a plan that would fix up the Fairground Speedway. You know, it's still an active racetrack, has the weekly series. I think, you know, they do a great job with it, with the weekly series, but it needs work. It's an old facility. You know, the grandstands need work, the garage area, the track itself. And so there was a plan years ago that was presented to former Mayor Cooper that Bristol and SMI would, you know, take a lot of the burden on that and fix the racetrack up and make it a premier venue, such as the Nashville Super Speedway or Bristol. And it's just kind of been sitting there since Mayor O'Connell took over. It looks like they're close to being able to reveal some things that might push this project forward. As a supporter of the racetrack and supporter of Fairgrounds, I love seeing this. I do know and recognize that there are, you know, others out there that don't want to see this, that there are, you know, people that are quoted in the story that want to see it turned into affordable housing and green space, which I think we have quite a bit of that. That's my opinion. But again, you know, that is your opinion to have as well. So I want to have a conversation. Like, for those of you that have been following this, that are for it or against it, I want us to talk about it. And you know, kind of, I know you're not going to change my mind. I'm probably not going to change your mind, but I do want to have a discussion.
All right, so why is this one any different than, like, hey, we're closed?
Well, they haven't. I don't know. Like, I mean, there is a little part of me that it's always kind of been, well, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. But,
yeah.
Yes, they are talking. And I do know in conversations I've had with the mayor's office, and you know, that it kind of felt like he wasn't for it at first, but then it was more he was for it's got to make economic sense for the city, which I am all about. It certainly does. And so, you know, now that they have worked and they haven't released anything, you know, in particular yet, but now it sounds like they're close to doing that, where they have a plan that this mayor's office agrees with and they think it's going to be best for the city.
So what would be the first step? If say they take it over, what's the first thing they do, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, then it's get a date to put shovels in the ground and start the renovation process. I mean, they're going to – like, the grandstands need to basically be torn down and rebuilt, in my opinion. You know, the inside, the racetrack, there's kind of a hill – in the infield. My guess is they would level that out and actually build a garage area, and, you know.
So they need a year.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other thing, you know, one of the last proposals that was presented did not have them having a NASCAR race every year. It was every other year. So I don't know if that would mean they just swap dates with – I would assume the Super Speedway is going to keep their date every year because it does well.
Yeah, so, it does. So how many tracks are like Nashville on the circuit?
Like
Bristol.
So there are currently on the schedule, now that you add North Wilkesboro, so you got Bristol, Martinsville, Richmond, North Wilkesboro, Iowa, that are the five short tracks on the schedule,
okay,
which means they're under a mile. Richmond and Iowa are probably on the larger scale. Nashville is a mile and, or a 7/8 mile. So it's under a mile. It's a 7/8. So it, but it's a short track.
So if they take over, do they expand their footprint any, or can they?
There's not much room over there, I don't think. I mean, you got the soccer stadium next door, which I know, you know, John Ingram and the soccer team, I think, are against this. I don't personally understand that, but, you know, that is neither here nor there in this conversation. But, yeah, I mean, and here's the other thing. In fact, during the break, Connor, I'll get you to pull something. Chase Elliott was on Chasing Checkers last night, and I asked him about this, and you'll hear this coming up next. He pointed out something about that track that you would not get anywhere else, that from those in the industry, how they view it is, it would be so freaking cool if that were the case. So we'll play that coming up next. But I want to know how you feel. 615-737-1025. It's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoundy.com. Would you be for renovating the Fairgrounds Speedway and having it have a NASCAR race, or are you against it? We will discuss that and much more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. On this Thursday, we're at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines here in downtown Nashville. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Connor Newt, back of the studio on the ones and twos, doing a great job as always. In fact, he's at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So we're talking about the Fairgrounds Speedway and a proposal that would see it get fixed up and be a big NASCAR track again. It is a couple of things before you hear from Chase Elliott. It is in the Metro Charter that it has to be operational. Now, I know the charter can be changed, but currently that is in the Metro Charter, and it's a historic landmark. So that is why there are so many people that are for fixing up the Fairgrounds Speedway. This was Chase Elliott last night on Chasing Checkers. He joined the show, and I asked him about the Fairgrounds because I know it's near and dear to his heart.
It is, man. I love it. I love it. I wish it'd be one of the healthiest things we could do as the industry, because you're never going to have a racetrack be in city limits like that ever again. You'll never build one back. It'll never get passed, right? Laws and, you know, government officials and so on and so forth. It'll never happen. So I think that's a miss from, you know, a NASCAR perspective, right? We can't come into big cities and race inside big stadiums because they're not big enough to really showcase what we do and who we are. And you have a facility right here that, to me, showcases and is what NASCAR was built on and what it represents, and the excitement of a Saturday night short track race within the city limits of one of the biggest and brightest cities in the country. So I just think it's a grand slam waiting to happen. I hope people can, you know, see the good in it and realize that, you know, give it a fair shot, right? And you know, I encourage those that might have be a little skeptical of the situation or you know, whatever it may be, to, you know, just give it a fair chance before you say no, because you know, I think there's just a lot of cool stuff that could go on there, and you're only talking about, you know, a night or two a year. You know, it's not like it'd be every week either. So yeah, a lot of good stuff. Wish it would happen, but unfortunately I don't know. I don't know where they're at with it.
So that was Chase Elliott last night on my racing show Chasing Checkers. obviously a huge fan of the fairgrounds and supporter of the fairgrounds, as are a lot of within the industry.
No, I mean,
but he's right. It's in downtown Nashville, and that is unique to have a racetrack in the middle of a city.
I was looking up earlier. I mean, I don't know the negative part about this. I mean, it's good. People come. They spend money. It fits perfectly over there. You don't have to expand the footprint, what they have, what's going on over there. And plus, Bristol's got a lot of money, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. A few people on our text line, you know, they don't want to see Metro money go for it. It sounds like from what I've read in the latest article that it wouldn't be public money. That they're
all for it.
That, you know, you're basically like going to have other people come in and pay for it.
Perfect. If you're not wasting money, you think, on something that you don't enjoy, and then find out, hey, no public money? It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Brent says, I'm against the track, not opposed to NASCAR, just think there's a better use for the real estate. Okay, that's fair. I think there's a lot of – and see, the other thing is there are people that live over there that are like, well, I don't like the noise. And
– don't do it.
Respectfully
– don't do it. Don't do it.
Respectfully – I will say, then why did you move next to a racetrack?
Exactly. It's like moving to an airport. These damn planes.
You know, the racetrack's been there longer than your house, so, I would imagine.
All right. So what do you – it doesn't like the better use of whatever. So you put more apartments in there?
Yeah, I mean, and I feel like that's what they want to do. And look, when this proposal comes out, I want I want to spend time on this. I welcome John Ingram on this show to discuss it. I welcome somebody from NSC on this show to discuss it. I want to hear both sides. I'm obviously very passionate about it because I love racing.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, and I think you can appreciate this, there's not much old Nashville left.
True.
The Fairgrounds Speedway is a part of old Nashville. And I'm all about advancing and moving forward and growing as a city. But I'd like to keep a little history at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's green spaces around. You just drive a little bit and you can find those. And I'm not opposed to green spaces, but there I am. I mean, that should be left for what it is. And it's, again, iconic. They're going to spend money. They'll take care of it. And they've reached out, like, to people in the neighborhood, like, hey, here's the sound barrier. We're going to do this and that.
Yeah.
And they've made adjustments to what they're doing over there. I just, again, as we talk about, a lot. 3% of the world is against oxygen. So,
but yeah, my thing is, if you're just going to build another park and apartments, like, I no. I'm not – no. That's not what I want.
Right, yeah.
Let's go to the phones. A lot of you want to weigh in on this. Doug's going to lead us off. Doug, welcome in.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. Also, a worker at the Nashville Super Speedway. So,
okay.
I've got questions, and – it's like everything, like my dad said, that makes the world go round. Love makes the world go round, but money greases the wheel. So with this thing, I wanted to make sense. I wanted to make money. Trust me, I've worked at we call it the little track before. It's fun, nostalgic. But even if it's not Metro money that's sponsoring this thing, sooner or later, somebody's going to want to make money. And the renovation's got to start with butts in the seats. And you've got to make it where there's at least people coming in that will pay to fund this event.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? So I wonder, how can you make it big enough to where butts in the seats will make
Doug,
it happen?
If you do let's say, you know, you put you have 30,000 seats, you bring a NASCAR race there, a cup race, just like that's out at the Super Speedway, you'll sell it out. You'll sell both out. Like, this could be a unique opportunity to have a city that has, and I know Indy has the short track and then the big track, and the trucks go out to the short track, but you could have two cup races, two cup weekends at two different tracks in the same, you know, vicinity, the same city, and I think you'd sell them both out. And you'd get, you know, your traditional old-school race fans that want to see short track racing on a Saturday night that would go to the fairgrounds, and then you would have some of your newer fans – that have gotten hooked the last few years from going out to the Super Speedway, that would still go to that, and the drivers are for both places. So, I think you'd make money. I don't think that would be an issue.
Okay, now here's the thing: the same thing that basically shut down the Glaville Speedway when it got shut out. there's only so many Sundays that there's racing. Somebody's got to give up a Sunday. Who's that person? Who's that venue that will give up their Sunday for an event to be held in Nashville?
Fair question, Doug.
The track is beautiful. They never said anything about the track. It's about the amount of Sundays that racing runs. So who gives up a Sunday?
That is a great question. Thank you, Doug. I got to run on that. But how they do this is, like, when Nashville Super Speedway got their date, they took a race from Dover because Dover was the owner. And so Dover has one race now, and then one comes to Nashville. There are several tracks that still have two. I don't know if Bristol would give one up. The All-Star race is certainly a possibility of putting the All-Star. I think that's what would happen first, is the All-Star race would come to the fairgrounds. So they could figure it out. I mean, they could definitely figure it out. Alan wants to weigh in. Alan, what's up?
Yeah, so three things. One, needs to be a Saturday night race because it's got that fairgrounds feel. Like if you've been to Darlington, it's like those bleacher types. And I would keep that kind of nostalgia to wrap them around. And it's going to sell out. And then besides that, I thought for a little while Bobby Hamilton Jr. was trying to buy the track and do something with it. I just threw that out there. And then three, man, that would be an awesome venue. Parking's a little tough, but anywhere you go to a race, parking's tough. But it is a fairgrounds feel, and it's nostalgic. Talk to Sterling Marlin. He may be old, but he is a real big generator on that, too. He loved that track.
Oh, 100%.
Him and Bobby Hamilton. So, anyway, just wanted to say, throw that in there. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate the call. Yeah, and look, parking is tough. Parking's tough for the soccer stadium right now. I'll say this. You fix up the racetrack, you flatten out the infield and have more room in the infield, there's parking for soccer right there. I mean, you could park in the infield because you're not going to have a race and a soccer game going on at the same time.
Yeah.
So that would help some of that.
I mean, that's just another small thing to throw out there. Oh, the parking – you figured it out
You'll
the last
out.
2 years and in it over there. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no parking for the soccer game, and they sell a lot of those out.
I hear nobody complaining about parking.
I mean, you kind of – you figured
– right.
There's no parking downtown.
Right.
Thomas on a car phone wants to weigh in. Thomas, what's up?
Hey, guys. I normally text in, but, man, this right here is a subject that's near and dear to my heart. I grew up right by the fairgrounds. I still live in that area. And, I mean, we grew up cherishing having that racetrack and that fairgrounds right there. And, I mean, the state of Tennessee, the citizens of Tennessee own that track and that fairground and have all the decision on what happens to it, not these politicians. And they've been trying to take that track ever since Carl Dean was in office. And they don't have the right to, and they're stealing it is all they're doing. The way they did with the soccer stadium, that was wrong. They should have never been able to put that there. I mean, I don't watch soccer, but I could care less if they've got a stadium or whatever. I'm welcome them to have their stadium. Just, I didn't want it right there. It's just another way to try to push it out. And to what the guy was saying earlier, it will make money. I mean, there's no place where there's a NASCAR event in the country that don't make money. I mean, it brings in millions, and not to mention the media and everything else that comes with it. And two, the gentleman Doug said, who's going to give up their race? Well, NASCAR decides who gets what race. They change their schedule every so often.
Yep.
And they have contracts with these cities. So if they decide they don't want to race in the city again, it's their right, and they can take the race away. They just done it. That's how we got this race again here at the Super Speedway. So, I mean, there's nothing stopping it from happening but politicians, and it should happen. Like I say, I still live less than a mile from the track, and with the mufflers and stuff they use now, I can hardly even hear the cars when I'm not at the track when they're racing. And I mean, normally I could hear it like clockwork every Saturday night. I mean, it'd be really loud, but it was a loud that you expected and appreciated. It ain't no different than the train that runs right behind my house that I was talking about jumping on as a kid, or the dang airport that flies planes over my damn house 24/7. I mean, you know, there's no difference. I can't tell 440 to shut down because the cars are too loud. But thank you, guys. Y'all know I love the show, but I had to call in for this one, man.
Thomas, thanks so much for the call, and we appreciate you.
And Chase, thank you for supporting racing, dude. Like, I absolutely always comment on that, and you guys rock, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Like I said, I love it. I mean, that's a sport that I just absolutely enjoy. So we'll get back into this. Thanks for the participation and the conversation. But coming up next, something else that is near and dear to mine and Big Joe's hearts, high school football. And tomorrow night is the debut of the Nashville Metro Schools High School Football Game of the Week. It'll feature your McGavick Raiders taking on Maplewood. We're going to talk to both head coaches coming up next. Coach Fred Burnett at McGavick, Coach Chris Simpson at Maplewood. They'll join us next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Here on this Thursday, we're at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. Come by and say hello. We're here every week, except for next week. A little bit different. But excited to be here. Excited about tomorrow night, the debut of the Nashville Metro Public Schools High School Football Game of the Week. And it will feature McGavick taking on Maplewood. And each Thursday at 1:30, we will talk to the head coaches of both programs that Coach Bubba Spears and I will be calling the game tomorrow night. So looking forward to that. We say hello now to Fred Burnett, the head coach at Big Joe's alma mater, the McGavick Raiders. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great, man. What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
We are doing fantastic. I know you have to be excited to get this season going. How's your team looked through camp?
Oh, man, I'm very excited. As you know, man, the transfer portal kind of hit us, but I got a great group of guys, man, that's been working hard since January and especially this summer. Some guys that just work hard. They very supportive of one another. They are uplifting to one another. They are accepting everything that the coaches are telling them. They've taken the right steps to prepare themselves for this upcoming season. So I'm looking forward to it. We got some good guys, man. If they're ready to make some plays, it's their turn to shine. So they're ready.
Talking to McGavick head football coach Fred Burnett. Coach, let me tell you real quick, no mercy tomorrow night.
No mercy. You know how it is. No mercy. Hey, the Raiders are ready to come out the stable this year, so we're ready.
I love it. You know, for me, playing Maple was such an iconic game for us back in the day. I know times have changed, but it's still an important game. I mean, that school is just right down Brawley Parkway from you guys. It's a metro game. There's a lot of bragging rights. What do you tell your team the importance of tomorrow night's game is?
Well, you know, I mean, of course, it's the first game of the season. It's a metro game, of course. We're starting the year off with two metro teams. I coached at Maplewood. I was the offensive coordinator there the last 8 years before I took over at McGavick when I was with Coach Broom. I still know some of the people that work over there. I'm communicating with the announcer, Mr. Townsend. Eric Townsend has been announcing games there for a long time, and he's looking forward to it. Three of my coaches I coached at Maplewood are on my staff now, and they were big-time players, you know, when we made those semifinal runs and things like that. So they were part of those teams, and they're looking forward to it. So it's a lot of ties and some things going on tomorrow. And it's just a lot, man. It's going to be fun. I know Coach Simpson, we've been knowing each other for a while. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be great competition. It's going to be a good game.
Not to give away your pregame speech tomorrow night, but what do you tell the guys before they get out there? Because it's the first game. A lot of guys are going to be so excited. What are you going to tell them?
Yeah. So, I've I've already been preaching to them, you know, your adrenaline is going to be flowing really high. You know, you're going to be excited. You may get tired really fast, but your second win will kick in really early in the game. And, you know, I always tell them, like, hey, man, it's, you know, we got 11 guys on the field. It's battles going on within every play. You know, a center is battling with a nose guard. You got the tackles going against the, you know, defensive tackles. You got corners versus receivers. And those small battles, if we win those small battles, we can win the war at the end of the game. So we're looking forward to those things and that opportunity.
Coach, what does it mean as someone that you just mentioned, you've coached in Metro a while and now, you know, head coach at McGavick, to have a Metro game be featured like we're going to be doing tomorrow night? Because, you know, Joe grew up in Metro. I grew up in Nashville. And, you know, watching all these teams, I think it's going to be really cool.
Oh, man, when they kind of mentioned it to us, it was everyone was excited about it because, you know, we haven't really been featured a lot as far as, like, on the TV on the Friday night games, you know, those Friday night light games. And I think the last time I was at Maplewood, 2000, maybe like 2013, 2012, when CPA and Lipscomb, we were all in the same regions, when they were doing the 3A, 4A regions, we played CPA at CPA, and I think that was one of the last times we were featured as far as Maplewood goes. You know, it gives a chance for the kids to get some exposure, and, you know, for some parents who may not be able to make the game, gives them an opportunity to kind of listen to the broadcast and, you know, hear their children's names being announced when they make plays. And I think it's going to be great for Metro schools. I'm glad you guys are doing it.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time today. Good luck tomorrow night. We're looking forward to it.
All right. Thank y'all, man. Y'all have a good one.
That is Fred Burnett, head coach at McGavick. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. Apologize for technical difficulties as we dropped off there in mid-interview. So we will pick things back up and really just start over again. Maplewood coach Chris Simpson joins us now. Sorry about that, Coach. I know you have to be excited about tomorrow night going up against McGavick, a home game for you all, and kicking this season off.
Yes, sir. We're super excited. It's been a long time coming. We get to play in front of our home fans who've been by our side for quite a while. So, yeah, we're excited to get it started.
Same question we gave Coach Burnett, Coach, about don't give away your whole pregame speech, but what's the message tomorrow night going into that first game versus McGavick?
We just talk about opportunity. We talk about the kids every day, the opportunity. You get the opportunity to play football. There's a lot of people who don't get to play it, who want to play it. So take advantage of every chance you get, every moment you get. Live within the moment and take advantage of the opportunity that presents itself, whether it be I got to make this block or I got to make this catch. Either one works. Just take advantage of the opportunity that you're getting.
So much is made about, like, you know, seniors, juniors, whatever. What do you look for from the leaders on your team? It doesn't matter what class they're in, but the guys that have stepped up and shown you as the coaches that they're willing to take a leadership role, what do you look for from them?
I mainly look for guys who lead from the front. I don't like people who talk. Talking really does nothing for anyone. Just lead from the front. If you're a hard worker, you show up every day, then you have the right to say something. So I'm looking for those guys who put in the work daily, who grind daily, who take care of business in the classroom and on the field. So those are my leaders. Those are the guys I'm looking for.
Coach, I know you get prepared for the first game, but I'm telling you, every game I played in the first game, the right guard on the field goal team never would go on the field for the, you know what I'm talking about? It's always that one guy, right, who never shows up in the first game. Have we dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's for tomorrow night?
Yes, sir. I hope so, because it wasn't our right guard. It was our right tackle for us, but in the scrimmages we had. But hopefully we got that down. He has a good chewing, so hopefully he's paying attention on the sideline this time.
I know there's a lot of energy for the kids, but it's got to be special for you. I mean, you're the head coach at a great school, a great football tradition coach. And what does it mean for you to lead the Panthers onto the field Friday night?
It's exciting, especially this year. I think we finally got our stamp on things the way we wanted to be. Kudos to the guys in the past 2 years who've grinded and put in the work to get us here where we are now. But it's super exciting. It's my alma mater, so it's nothing like coming to the field Friday night and seeing the crowd, seeing the fans, and just having put on that Maplewood uniform, because there's no greater feeling in the world.
I'll ask you the same question that I asked Coach Burnett about, you know, being featured our game of the week. We're so excited to have that and be able to talk about these young men. How special is it to have Metro and Maplewood featured like it's going to be tomorrow night?
Oh, it's extremely special. When we first found out, I got excited, like goosebumps, because we haven't had this kind of recognition and the coverage in a while, especially Maplewood. So it's super exciting. These guys have earned it. They deserve it. I just appreciate everyone who put it together, who made this happen, because the coverage in Metro is not what it used to be. But I think I think this is the right step in the right direction. So I love it.
Coach, best of luck tomorrow. We're looking forward to it, and we'll see you then.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Coach Chris Simpson, head coach at Maplewood, and again, our first ever Nashville Metro Schools High School Football Game of the Week, which is presented by Strike and Spares Family Fun Center, will be tomorrow. We'll have the pregame with the Game Blitz pregame at 6 o'clock. Connor Newt, the Rifleman, and Parker Kelly. We'll go around and preview the games around the mid-state. We'll pick pregame up for the Metro game of the week at 6:30, and Coach Bubba Spears, a legendary Coach Bubba Spears, and I will be on the call starting at 7 o'clock. And then after our game is over, the Game Blitz scoreboard show with Connor and Parker, as they'll give you scores from the night around the mid-state. High school football means so much to me, means so much to you, and we're excited to be able to do this again.
Well, I just, Friday night, you turn the radio on. It's good to hear that. It's Friday night. Now, that's the kids now. We've preached the whole time about Friday night for high school. NFL, college, leave it alone. You got six other days of the week. Let it be for high school football. And high school football has grown so much, even 10, 20, 30 years here with everything that's going on. So it's a fantastic night. We love highlighting and spotlighting these kids who pour their heart and soul in the programs, and these coaches too as well, and how to have an outlet for them to hear themselves on the radio. I think it's fantastic, man. We love this.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the time when it, like, first hit me, when I had a coach say, you know, call in and say, you know, we're listening to you on the bus on the way back.
Right.
And, you know, I think they had gotten beat, and, like, we're still listening on the bus. You know, the kids want to hear about the other games and everything, and it was like,
do you remember what team that was? They called in when they won. Do you remember?
Was that Summit?
Summit High
yeah,
School.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We had the coach on, and they lost so many games. And when they won, he said, can I call in? I'm like, heck yeah, you can. We got him on immediately. So it's big. It's yeah. People listen on Friday nights around, and the signal is great. It reaches in these cities where they don't get all the coverage and the love, and now they get it on Friday nights. I'm telling you, man, it is something else, and it's not something we just throw lip service out there.
No,
we care. And I will speak for you on this. We care about high school football and these coaches and these kids and these programs and these bands and these environments. It's just fun, and tomorrow night will be great.
Yep, and I am very excited to be on the call. You know, doing Cats games kind of gave me that itch, so I was like, sign me up. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So.
Next, yeah. And there's a game tonight. There's a MyTV 30 game tonight.
Yep.
Beach is at Green Hill. So it begins tonight. It is the best time of the year.
Absolutely. So appreciate both Coach Burnett and Coach Simpson for joining us. And we'll have that game for you, Maplewood and McGavick, tomorrow night here on 102.5 The Game. We'll get back into the Titans and so much more in hour number three. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.